The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism. Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Good morning, dear listeners, and welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. And it's the right time to thank Matthias Sangala with The Twilight, and this is the platform that we discuss affairs of business, affairs of trade, and also we look at international politics and also global news. What is happening? What are some of the moves which are happening in the economic front, and also how can we improve our human development, which has been one of the center of argument in all the discussions, whether it's policymakers, whether it's international developmental enthusiasts, whether it's scholars and researchers. The center of the argument is always, among other things, but most importantly on human development, to see what can we do to make sure that we translate these numbers correctly and we transform them into the changes of the people on the ground. So yeah. Wherever you are, you must be excited. You must be excited because December is not a month to be angry. It's a month to be excited. The fact that you went throughout the whole year with all the challenges, but you are still standing. And the fact that you are still, you know, listening to Eagle FM, your number one favorite talk radio station in Namibia. That is a very good thing. That's why this is the month that you use to reflect, and also to celebrate about your achievements, and also the way you overcome challenges. So, what is happening in the economy of Africa? What is happening? Let us start with the push for a single central bank. You know, it was indicated that at the major summit held in Yaounde, 41 central bank governors from across the continent of Africa who gathered there to discuss on climate-related financial risks, the strengthening of monitoring corporations. One of the center of the discussion is, re-energized plans for deeper integration under African Monetary Institute, which expect to pave a way for the African Central Bank. I think there are moves and there are plans, either is to stabilize African economy or to deeply integrate African economy. And this has been part of the plans of the Africa that we want, to say, why can't we have one central bank? Why can't we have one currency that is used by, you know, the whole Africa, so that we can become globally competitive and we also become very strong as a continent? Why other continents are organized, such as Asia, such as, America, such as EU. Why are we not organized? But it seems like central bank governors from various countries, from 41 central banks in Africa, they are paving the way for Africa Central Bank by 2026. And one may also be tempted to ask, to say, this just the discussions or the plans is on the table, but it seems like Africa is on the move, especially when it comes to integration of its trade, and also when it comes to control of the finance. Because when you have one central bank, it's also easy for you to control the currency. It's also easy for you to balance the economy. It's also easy for you to protect citizens of Africa from external, challenges which affect, the financial system, such as illicit financial flow, such as cyber risk, and also many other challenges that affect the African economy. Yeah, while we are there, stated that there is a plan to come up with a unified economic strategy unified economic strategy, especially when it comes to Africa, especially when it comes to Africa. And these governors of central banks indicated that, there is a growing agency for coordinated financial governance, and also at the center of that is the challenges also of securing green finance, and that is one of the things which have been discussed, especially when it comes to the continent of Africa. And looking at Zambia, it was indicated that Zambia secure first credit upgrade in 5 years, which is signaling a path towards stability. After years of bettering debt distress, Zambia has secured its first credit rating upgrade from S&P Global Ratings since August 2019, an important milestone for a country that defaulted on its external debts in 2020. Looking at the history of Zambia political economy, it has been stated that when it comes to Zambia, especially from 1990 there, the country has been struggling with debts, has been struggling with servicing of its debts, but it seems like when it comes to this point, they have secured the first credit upgrade in 5 years, which is showing economic development. But look, when you look at economic prediction, either is from IMF or World Bank, stated that at the end of 2025, where we are, there's a lot of upgrade, particularly in terms of economic growth. But you also be able to see signals also when you will be able to listen to today's presentation, when we are going to speak and also try to expand on international trade balance of the month of October, how Namibia have sold. And you'll be able to realize that there is upgrade of the game in terms of finance, and also this is also signaling to say the growth which was predicted by IMF and World Bank. Particularly, you look at countries such as Zimbabwe, Zambia, look at Nigeria and Ghana, and many other, African countries, particularly in sub-Sahara Africa, to look at how things are in terms of economy. But it seems like when there are such positive news, such as upgrading in terms of the credit rating system, you'll be able to realize that countries are managing, their debts, and is part of the positive news when it's coming to the economy. But one of the questions that is always coming on the table is that apart from doing well, apart from improving in terms of economy, and also in terms of debts or debt servicing, what is the long term sustainability of what is the sustainability of effective debt servicing of that country? Because what is necessary is long term. What is necessary is long term. What is necessary is not a daily win. What is necessary is a long term and sustainability of that that win. Because it's quite important to report on everything which is happening, particularly positive, but that win is for how long? And also, looking at the issue of governors advising, or African Central Bank governors which are advising, or they are looking at the plan of creating one continental central bank, maybe it would be our way. Maybe it would be our way to win. Maybe it would be our way to trade with international market. Because really, when you look at the budget of African Union, for example, then you look at how much we are contributing. When you look at how much we are contributing as member states, you realize to say African Union operations would not be possible without external support. Can you say that to EU? You can't. Can you say that to BRICS also? You cannot do that. Can you say that to Shanghai Cooperation, organization. You cannot do that because we were supposed to be self-sustaining. We are supposed to be self-funding, although it's a plan of Africa on the table. But the conversation and what is coming out of the mouth of African leaders, particularly those who are dealing with the finance and the economic sector, is always that there is no money. We need more money. Can you kindly assist us with more money? And you are always asking yourself to say, are there no other things? Are there no other things that we can look at apart from begging for money? Are there no other things that Africans can do apart from asking for more money from, external funders? Then you end up again paying that money with high interest. At the same time also, you also end up compromising on your natural resources because somebody is giving you because he knows that when you are not able to pay, he will come and make deals with you so that you end up paying what you owe. Because an investor is a careful business person. An investor is a careful business person. You cannot develop based on aid. You have to go through that system, but you also need to be very strong and also self-funding. But I think when it comes to the issue of Central Bank of Africa, when it comes to the issue of Central Bank, I think it's also going to absorb the smaller economy and also going to strengthen the currency of it's also going to strengthen weaker currencies, particularly when you look at exchange rates. But on this regard, I think if you have one central bank, it will also be easy. It will also be easy for Pan-African payment and the settlement system and to keep money in the continent of Africa. Then that is the only way that, we are going to move ahead toward our plan, such as Agenda 2063 and also the main Africa continent free trade area. Now, on the other part, they stated that Emmanuel Macron is in China, was welcome in China, and this indicated that China and France, they are looking for greater cooperation amidst, global instability. And these are some of the moves that Emmanuel Macron is doing. What I indicated earlier, especially last week, is that when it comes to Macron, the interest of his country is number one. The interest of his country is number one, because if you are looking at the way he is making move, you'll be able to realize that he understood how the economy is working. Coming from that background of being an economist, I think he understood that it's more important to secure economic cooperation than engaging in a war that will not take you anywhere. And when G20 was happening, Macron came to Africa, but he came also with a different mission, realizing to say France lost its main colonies, the trade relations, and he came to Africa to rebuild those trade relations, apart from attending G20, also now in China, to make sure that when it comes to the economy, when it's coming to trade relations, France and China, they are cooperating. You'll be able to realize to say, France is like, is serving a standalone game, although it's also part of EU, but when you look at its situation in terms of the economy, you'll be able to realize that there is more that need to be done, and that is exactly what Macron is doing. And also to look at this point, to realize that at the end of the day, it's about the interests of your country, not really to say who are our allies in terms of, for example, when you look at EU, but you realize to say France is pushing its own agenda, because remember, Last year, Emmanuel Macron was rejected by BRICS, because he also applied. He applied to be part of BRICS, but France was rejected. Then you realize to say, how come if BRICS was viewed as a threat or an alternative to the Western economic power, how come France is also looking at this body or to be part of this body? But I think that is where the future is. That is where the future is, because leaders who can see beyond confrontation, and these are the leaders that, you know, look at what is needed, because with Macron, I think it's a standalone project, but it's also for France, because if you look at the debts of France per GDP, you're able to realize that it's more than 111%, and you realize to say these are some of the attempts to improve not only trade but also economic stability that side of France. They are here with Xi Jinping, that is Chairman Xi Jinping, and it's very important to look at this news before we move forward.
An open cooperation. The grand welcoming ceremony in Beijing for France's President Emmanuel Macron, who arrived on Wednesday night for a three-day state visit. It's expected to focus on trade talks and global crises, with Macron urging Beijing to help end the war in Ukraine. President Xi Jinping called on his French counterpart to work together with China to promote multilateralism, global solidarity, and cooperation. China is ready to work with France, always bearing in mind the fundamental interests of our peoples and the long-term interests of the international community to overcome various disturbances, adhere to dialogue on an equal footing and open cooperation, and ensure that the China-France comprehensive strategic partnership moves forward more steadily and effectively in the next 60 years. Macron is accompanied by a large business delegation. The two leaders signed 12 cooperation agreements following their talks, covering population aging, bilateral investment, nuclear energy, and panda conservation.
Yeah, that is what is happening. That is what is happening, particularly that side of China. And you realize that he did not go alone. Macron did not go alone. He went with a business delegation, and at the center of his visit, is also, you know, the aspect of ending of war in Ukraine. And it seems like France is no more interested in some of the European and also NATO agenda. And looking at this concept, he is indicated that, you know, at the center of that is business development and also trade relations with China. And it seems like China is also regaining its global influence. It's regaining its global influence, especially when it's coming to diplomacy, when it's coming to relations, because the world can be able to see that is where the future is. The world can also be able to see that if you put Shanghai Cooperation Organization, then you also add BRICS, then you also put the G20. And I realize to say, also, and Africa itself, realize to say that is more than 50% of the world economy. It's more than 50% of the world economy, and that is definition of the future when it comes into trade. But the question has always been to say, although Africa has been planning towards its economic integration, upgrading of its people, you're always asking yourself a question to say, why are we always late to get somewhere as a continent? Why are we always fighting each other instead of, you know, solving our own problems, then we can focus on trade? Because now as we are speaking, people are forming bilateral relations, trade relations, strengthening cooperations. But African leaders, they are in the US, especially, you see the president of Rwanda, and also the president of DRC. They went to Donald Trump, and that is part of the solution to the problems that they are facing. You're always asking yourself to say, but how come you are going to solve your problems outside the continent? And I also want them to invite Donald Trump for once to come to Africa to say, how come so much interest in Africa, but they never touch a feet in Africa, particularly as a president, and is busy solving those, you know, conflicts. Let's hope that the conflict in DRC will end after this meeting of two leaders, particularly after a long time of tensions and also a long time of exchanging of words. Somebody is saying you are funding M23. The other one is saying deal with your problems and all those things. Yeah. While we are there, let us look at the Gulf State and also Morocco. It indicated that the Gulf countries reaffirm support for Morocco sovereignty over Western Sahara. The Gulf Cooperation Council has reiterated affirmed its support for Morocco sovereignty over disputed territory of Western Sahara. And that is coming from, the leaders of the Gulf state, speaking about the Middle East. It's indicated that it's coming to the challenge of there's been a long time, conflict and disputes, particularly between Western Sahara and also Morocco. And most of the African countries, including Namibia, it's on the other side, or supporting the independence of Western Sahara. But at this point in time, what is seen is that when you look at the Gulf states, so the countries with oil, you look at the Gulf state, you'll be able to realize that they are supporting Morocco. And it's a news to look into. Because, in international affairs, it's a matter of aligning what interest are you pushing and also what are you gaining as a country. And also, it's not a matter of saying who must oppose who. That is why, even when you look at Israel and Gaza, or Israel and Palestine, you'll be able to realize that the world has been divided. There are those who are supporting Israel, and also there are also those who are supporting Palestine. It's the same with Ukraine and Russia. And here is Morocco in Western Sahara. But let us look at this news and move forward.
The Gulf Cooperation Council has reiterated its support for Morocco's sovereignty over the disputed territory of Western Sahara. At the end of the 46th session of its Supreme Council, it welcomed the UN Security Council's recent endorsement of Rabat's autonomy plan as a realistic basis for resolving the dispute. The Council said this was a significant step towards achieving a practical and feasible solution that reflects growing global recognition of the initiative. The Western Sahara has been the scene of Africa's longest-running territorial dispute since the departure of colonial power Spain in 1975. Morocco has long considered the territory its own, while the Algeria-backed Polisario Front wants to establish an independent state called the Sahrawi Republic. But, as with similar UN resolutions in previous years, the text makes no mention of a referendum on self-determination that includes independence as an option.
Yeah, by the look of things, it's like Morocco is winning and Western Sahara may go back to Morocco, because this has been the center of Africa's longest disputed territorial disputes. Because if you listen to those liberation songs, one of the content is that Africa will never be free. And until everybody is free. And also, there are also those who have been asking to say, why only Namibia and Western Sahara, which are not yet independent? Those are the songs of those days. But up to now, Western Sahara, seems like, you know, there is a long way. It's a long way. Or this dispute will come to an end in favor of Morocco. But, so now it's a question of, territorial integrity. It's a question of territorial integrity and also independence. But, you know, after all, it must be bigger. It must be bigger than, you know, a country. Because we are looking at, continental cooperations. We are looking at, continental cooperations. And, these things should not be, one of the things that, putting us down. Why people are pushing for continental integration, we must all move to that area.
Good morning.
Yes, Shabbi.
Yeah, how are you?
Good, Joseph.
I'm well.
You know, any country that wants to develop fast, so maybe also to understand how the national political and the economy work, you have to learn from the Chinese media.
I know, but it's like your point is continue to make sense. You have seen the future.
Because, you people must see how the Chinese work. Yeah, I don't, even if you see the language that they are always spreading in the world, in the international political and economy, just a very simple thing. They just pushing for equality. Simple. The balance.
No, it's like your point is making sense. The one that you always indicate to say, let us look at the East.
You just need to learn from the Chinese. Look, there is one thing there that people don't understand. If you ask a Chinese, even foreign minister, between materialism and bilateralism, which arm they are focusing much on? Bilateral. Because that one, that's why they say, for them, because materialism, bilateral is to say between me and you, they can talk. So they say, no, we don't care what system you are, whether you are Democrat or not, whether you are holding election or not, whether you support or gays, they don't care.
They don't interfere into your country's thing.
It's their domestic thing. For them, they are just saying, let's just sit and say, this is what we want. This is what we can.
Then it's done.
Then it's done.
But what do you think about France? Seems like Macron is playing an independent plan now.
You can see now, even France. Look, before you go to France, go to Britain, when they move from BRICS or something, when they break away.
From you.
Because they all realize that the global power is shifting. It's no longer an issue of materialism. Or that concept of which are poor or pongo or shapa tuka, ongwe. That is bilateralism, my dear. You see?
Because they know that
Britain will be stronger if they are trying to push bilateral. Because that is the way forward now. When it comes to France, it's the same. Look at the what happened in those Francophone countries. You know, those countries, they no longer want to, as I said, because people starting to understand now that they had, you know, under the colony of France. And those countries, they have been also paying, apparently, colonial tax. Colonial tax. What nonsense is that? Even if you are talking of the World Bank and what? If the member states are the one who can contribute, yet when you are going to borrow, also you have to pay higher interest rates. what we are saying.
And you already paid colonial tax also.
You are already, look, all the money is being controlled in France, bank. The currency in those countries is controlled by France, but you can see those countries, they are trying now to say, they, because they are trying to realize the truth.
But when he came back now in last month, when he came back with G20, he stated that they are going to trade at an international rate. I think he came with a different plan because he even went to those countries again to renegotiate and also say, this time we are going to trade one-on-one. And you are just asking yourself to say, what is really that is not keeping them, you know, because even when you look at the records of France's visit to Africa, it was stated that, like for Mauritius, it was after 1995 and nobody even came, but he just came this year to come and check.
That's why, as I said, it's when people are starting to realize the truth. Mm-hmm. Those Western, that revolution that you have seen in West Africa there.
Yeah.
Or Mali, Burkina Faso, all those Gabon, everything. Mm. There, people, they're starting to understand, to realize the truth where the world is going.
Mm-hmm.
That's why now they also starting to renegotiate. Mm-hmm. When we talk of this World Bank and everything, we said, look, you must always ask how these two institutions came about. IMF and the World Bank, they all, if you read something like the World War Conference, the ultimate was to assist the country who were affected by the Second World War. Africa was never part of the game.
we like people's things.
Africa was never part of the game.
Yeah.
And the country that time, that is even where they were developing country started. Mm-hmm. There was developing country was never referred to Africa first.
No, I got your point because I remember at one point, World Bank was the bank for reconstruction, eh? Or something.
That was the World Water Conference.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. No, I hear you.
That's where the thing came from.
We are not in the plan.
Africa was not even considered as developing. The way, if you go in the West, just to trace the origin of the word, a developing country.
Mm-hmm.
It emanated from that.
Mm-hmm.
Then Africa was not.
Mm-hmm. Ne?
Africa was not. Because it was not part of the place. So, and this is where now to say, look, when we talk of to say, look, even the banking system, the sovereignty still remains with the Americans. Ne?
Mm-hmm.
And even brothers now. And others now. Russia and all those things. Those are the owners.
You have a point because World Bank was an international bank for reconstruction and development. And its job was just to assist those countries who were destroyed by war, the Second World War. But yeah, okay, now let's move forward. What do you think about one continental central bank?
That one can work,
ne?
But the problem is even the African bank development, what?
Mm.
Did you know who has shares in that bank?
No, I know, even the US.
Now when you go to South Africa Reserve Bank, it's not even a state thing, it's a private, owned by who? Shares by who? The Lehman Brothers and others are there.
Mm.
I have seen a documentary, my dear, and that guy, I think between Lehman Brothers or like one of the others, I said, look, as long as we control banking system and financial system in Africa, Africa will never move. I have that documentary.
Uh-huh. I think you need to.
And he was talking because you know this guy, the way they used to do, they always collapse Africa economy after 30 years, then they move to 15 years. Now it's no longer a duration because of the new competitors that are in the market now, which are the Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
That's why every African country that got independence, their economy always collapsed after 30 years.
15 or 50.
30. They started with 30. Just take an example of what Zambia here.
Mm-hmm.
Ne?
Okay,
take
okay,
this
okay.
The example of Namibia.
Hmm.
Namibia problem starting when they reach 30. Because they always collapse the economy so that to start over. They start bringing this conflict. You know, when they start, you start understanding things. Even in South Africa, it was the same.
Mm-hmm.
South African problem started when they were about to 30 years. Why? Because people started to understand structures, financial system, international politics, economy, democracy, and everything.
Mm-hmm.
They try now to consolidate. Mm-hmm. When you listen to what Mama Mafosa said, look,
mm-hmm.
they learned a lesson from American Trump when he tried to treat Africa.
Mm-hmm.
You see? Now, look at what South Africa did now. That is where you say, look, now they wanted to bring down the ANC, the black leadership, so that the DA over could take off.
There are bigger games.
Yes. Look, here, my friend, you need people who can think, can follow this international political and economy discussion. But always see what the Chinese are always saying. They are even saying, you Africans or Namibians, you don't need to choose between China or Russia or like whether to side with the Chinese, side with the Americans or the Russians.
Mm.
Because these are the on where you suffocate between the two. What you need to push, you just need to push bilateral.
Yeah, bilateral is good, and the land also. Yeah, the land.
What are you going? That's why we say when the two, during the Cold War, you can see that the countries that emerge is to say South Korea and Japan. Now, Americans, they wanted to prove a point, to say their system, their capitalism is better. That's why they go there, all the material, all the technology to Japan and what like that. While the Russian had to go back home and try to strengthen itself. It leave North Korea alone there, but they were still exchanging this technology things. That's why we see North Korea is now.
But North Korea is now more advanced now.
Yes. So, because you need to understand two things there to say, look, you don't need to take sides.
Mm-hmm.
It's a problem.
Okay. Now, lastly, before we go to the conversation for today on international trade balance, what is your view on Kangame and Tshisekedi going to Trump to solve their problems in Africa?
Because it's a franchise, you understand. It's the American who put them on power, so why they cannot go to their master?
Okay. I just wanted your point. Okay. Just one minute, ne? Before.
Yeah, it's a franchise system. They were the one who, but what the interest of the Americans there? It's just the natural resources there.
Mm-hmm.
On the issue of Morocco issue, Namibia is just a hypocrite in the whole thing.
Why?
Why you want to say, look, you are supporting the independence of what?
Western Sahara.
Why you have the issue of the capital and the issue of the South Bank? Deal with your own things. Deal with your own things.
But it's like UN is on the side of Morocco.
Look, my friend, it's the same as you cannot blame the Chinese when they are saying Taiwan is part of China. When the Americans, when the independence of the Taiwan is pushed by who? By the Americans. And they want to have, to control, to have a franchise system of governance, economy, and technology in what? Now they just wanted to fight China from Taiwan. Not a reasonable sovereignty mindset can allow that.
Yeah, you are making a very good point, because minds can also shift when you get the point, because the issue of Western Sahara, I was looking at it, but when you gave that example, I think you are in line with what the UN is also saying, because it's like there is no more popularity like how it has been those years to say Western Sahara must be on their own and
look,
all those things.
Yeah. We are always proud to say no. Vazis Bay, the return of Vazis Bay to Namibia.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we proud of that?
Mm-hmm.
It
was a celebration.
Sarah, that's why I said that in a franchise system, you have been told what to say, who to support,
uh-huh.
and who not to support.
But maybe it's a thinking of that time.
It's not a thinking of that time.
Yeah.
That's what I said. The thinking of the time.
Mm-hmm.
People always think about whether it's a modern or odd. People always think about sovereignty.
Yeah.
And the threat, external threat now. Because you need to ask yourself to say, look, if for instance, because the international political economy, they want to divide countries into pieces so that they are too small not to
unite,
to have power, not to have too much. Mm-hmm. The reason why Africa is divided like that, because they don't want that unity.
Mm-hmm.
Because they already put this democratic system and what now people are fighting for political position in this instead of pushing economic and trade balance and something, as you are saying.
Mm-hmm.
If you listen to that guy, Jeffrey Sachs or something,
mm-hmm.
you know, said, he always cautioned to say Africa must be one nation. They don't need this member state.
Well,
need to become one.
But
remember how China achieved it, because those countries, those cities you see, Hong Kong was a country on its own, Beijing was a country on its own.
Mm-hmm.
But the unification, the country to become one.
Strength.
You need to learn from the Chinese, because the Chinese not, we are referring now to the Communist Party.
Yeah.
The Communist Party, they never interfere with the internal affairs in those cities. How things are made. The Communist Party only concentrate on that, on what is coming in.
What is going out. It's a very good point. Let's look at others and continue the conversation.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. That is the conversation. It is a conversation to say instead of fighting for plots, let us unite and have the whole farm. Let us unite and have the whole farm. Don't just say, this is my corridor. This is my plot. This is my corridors to plow and also to take care of my animals. But that was the main intention of that who come to divide you, so that you will find it very difficult. So that you will call each other Vambos, Damaras, Hereros and all these, tribal things that we are calling each other, instead of seeing everybody as Namibian, because it also part of the development to understand what is working and what is not working. How do we incorporate, unification rules or unification principles in our governance, and also how do we go away with tribalism without, losing our culture? Because, at the end of the day, we are all one people. We are all striving for the same thing, which is the development of the country, not only in terms of building, but development of individuals. Because now, if you look, for example, in our country, you'll be able to realize that you find advanced machines, you find advanced, institutions, you find, high level of technology. But when you look at an individual, you realize to say, we are still have those who are at the beginning of being civilized. You realize to say, some people are very far from the main table, very, very far in terms of thinking, in terms of understanding, in terms of how things are working. That's what we need to work on. So, you can call back at 083-288-401, 083-288-401. You are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. It's 52 minutes past the hour of 6. And today, good morning.
Morning, David.
Yes, are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you, too, sir?
I'm great. It's a Friday.
Wonderful. It's a Friday.
it's a Friday of...
Friday, when you come back on Monday, you say it's a Bro Monday.
it's the first Friday of December.
Oh, yeah, first Friday of December, eh?
Yeah.
Ah, let's thank God for that, see?
No, it's quite very important because very, very necessary.
The journey that you people have taken us through,
yeah,
and you are still doing that, we appreciate your dedication.
Yeah.
And seriously, this is not about a talk show.
Yeah.
So talk radio. How do you say it again? It's a talk. So we discuss very, very important and crucial matters when it comes to political economy, economic growth, development, and especially this time around, this is a different kind of conversation.
Yeah.
So you may remember even when the president of France came to South Africa.
Yeah.
We made he surveyed, he visited a lot of countries.
Yeah.
My analysis there is somebody who is actually doing some kind of an institution.
Come again?
And he is aware that these people are addressing about the historical injustice.
Yeah.
And everybody is aware of that.
Yeah.
They see me for me and you and many other people.
Yeah.
We all know that they are talking about equality, sustainable development.
Mm.
What is the other? I think the other one is the solidarity factor. I think that's the first one.
Yeah.
Solidarity all along. We had it in Africa.
Yeah.
That kind of solidarity really.
Yeah.
So you reminded me about a very one of my best revolutionary songs.
What is that?
Tala 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 nawa efimbe zimbolalim loli na mepo zina mepo taibebe mepo e mangoloko ike namidia nashala. So you reminded us on this.
Yeah, apparently you were on the wrong side of what support to say Western Sahara is going back now.
No, we had always been calling for the sovereignty, the independence of Western Sahara.
But you know what? The caller challenged you to say, why do you want Western Sahara to be independent if you are celebrating the return of Avis Bay?
Hey, listen. So
it's a challenge.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing. I think we just need to revisit.
Okay.
To revisit our own history.
Yeah.
The African liberation history. Mm. And even the Chinese, the solidarity, this kind of thing. Mm. All along, from the in time in memoria.
Mm-hmm.
So all the liberation struggle movement, they have always been aligned themselves with maybe China, the Soviet Union, and all these other things.
Yeah.
Even the DDR before they got reunited.
Yeah.
So that's been our spirit of the sovereignty of Africa.
Okay.
So there's no doubt about it. So this one, of course, I'm very much interested in the issue of the president of France.
Okay.
So remember, even before the meeting of the leaders, meeting took place.
Yeah.
So he went around, he even had a dinner.
Mm.
Where this was Nazareth.
Yeah.
Where the historically, all the things, you can go there and get the information how the Africa and all this, our forefather, started.
Yeah.
So he doesn't, and in fact, remember there was a time he said, please, Palestine must be independent.
Mm-hmm.
Then, just immediately after the America was hammered by Iran. Who is this one? So what we are saying is that that multilateralism That's how Africa, especially, has been organized. Are you getting me?
Yeah, I am getting you.
That's how you were organized. You are living in that kind of the social living kind of a system, order. So despite the fact that, yes, some of these chiefs and all these things, the king, they bully others. You understand themselves. But now we are talking about how you can really collaborate. Look at the 12, France, less than 12 points that they have to do with Russia, I mean, with China and all these other things. And you know, the good thing of the Chinese, man, even if you provoke them to anger.
No, they are, they must, how do you call that?
The strategy.
Yeah,
they develop some military strategy. They know. And these are the things that we also know.
No, they must themselves.
So the fact that, you mentioned of virus by.
Yeah.
You say it, I don't know what the comparison that you say you made there. I also did not hear much very well thing.
No.
But I mentioned, of that. Why are you calling for this thing? And then you mentioned of virus by. What's wrong with that virus by?
No, the comparison is that to say why Western Sahara is not independence, and those have been the possession of Namibians from the liberation struggle. Do you understand?
All along, even before.
Yeah, before. Now, the caller has indicated to say, why are we pushing for continuation of division of African countries instead of looking for integration? The same way...
Wait.
And his point is here to say, the same way we celebrated when we got back Walvis Bay, is the same way Morocco is going to celebrate when they integrate Western Sahara back.
I'm saying, who is pushing for the division of Africa? I don't understand.
No. Is that because when you're pushing for sovereignty of Western Sahara, it's the same way you say Walvis Bay must be on its own.
So, listen, I don't see that whether that comparison is relevant.
Okay.
Maybe
okay.
I just don't understand. What I'm saying is that Walvis Bay, remember even when we got our independence, they were still cringing on the Walvis Bay.
Yeah.
Funding to fight, all this confusion, ideas, what. But we use a strategy, the strategy that was used by Dr. Mbumbas and others.
Until Ben.
Yeah?
And then until Ben.
No, those ones, the Mawilis and others, you know them most.
Yeah.
So you wanted us to take up our guns and things like that? So, and we see how it was dealt with, you know, politically, economically, whatever kind of area that you want to relate it to.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's support some of these good efforts. People want peace in Africa. The equality that has been our time, our theme all along.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's see how we can then appropriate this thing and restructure those institutions that have been dominated. You see, those are the points that is structuring. Even even in those Europe, we were taught recently that there are also countries whose GDP is less than some of our developing countries in Africa. So if we can now make sure that the peace and stability that you always talk about is sustained, and so that we don't allow our country or criminal justice system to be inflated like you are seeing there now in South Africa. So I think you need to make sure that some of the people that are really coming into those structures are really patriotic. Are they people that can really make sure that the country doesn't fall into social and political chaos? Because that's more important.
Yeah, it's very
important. If you cannot congratulate the leadership of Ramaphosa and all these things, that means you are not supporting the independence of Africa. Not even Namibia. Not even talk about Namibia. So thank you very much for giving us this insight conversation.
Yeah.
And America, if they, you know, most of these countries, if they don't want to pull up.
Yeah.
And they're like, you see, South Africa, you know, there's no way G20 can take place in America. Even America knows already that it's nowhere because South Africa, just look at it. So you must also thank God, because I know, you say, depending on South Africa, I understand, it's good. But we are coming, our peace and all these things must be guided. Yes.
Thank you.
Welcome.
All right.
Yeah, we are continuing the conversation. And seems like, you look at UN resolutions. It's like UN resolutions are backing Morocco autonomy plan to regain the region of what is known as the Western Sahara, and it's a position. And stated that, you know, the independence of Sahrawi state, as it has been claimed, is unlikely to come soon. And, but at the end of the day, it's not about who is in charge. It's not about who is in control. But it's about the people. The people having the basic needs, or we are just fighting for territories. Because, you know, sometimes we are fighting for things. But when you look, for example, in Sudan, whether it's Sudan itself or South Sudan, challenges are still the same. The two-state solution was part of a long-term conflict to solve that. But little did we know that the fight is motivated by resources, and the funders are those who are benefiting from those resources. That is why sometimes think you want a leader, you want to stand on your own, but did you root out the main problem that is causing you to fight even? Because at the end of the day, you must push for integration, you must push for one central bank of Africa, then we can be globally competitive without compromising our principles, or without, putting down the interest of our people. Because when you look at Emmanuel Macron, as somebody who studied economics and public affairs, you'll be able to realize that no matter what people are saying, he's busy pushing for his country. He was in Africa rebuilding relationships, especially trade relations, and also now he's in China, because France has always, if you look at the history, even First and Second World War, France is always having their own way of doing things. They are part of the bigger alliance, but they make their own things if it comes to the interest of France. And I think that is what he's pushing. And the leader is one of the, not really to say the youngest leaders, but the leaders of 21st century in the modern France. But I think we are yet to see how things are going to turn out, especially when it comes to their relationships with China. And also the continent of Africa, because when you look at mining companies, the part of uranium and gold, France is one of the best mining companies. But the question that we are always asking is to say, are they operating based on domestic laws of the host countries? Are they respecting the rights of those citizens? Are they operating at an equal share market, or they have advantage? Are they paying tax? And that's why when you see traveling to China, he also went with business delegation. I think those are part of the conversation, particularly when it's coming to expanding on economic relations.
Good morning.
Sorry, just briefly, no?
Yeah.
Just a minute or so. Yes. Now, because we now know that development and all this networking and all this issue that you see that we want, concern the interest and of the masses now, because you are the you are serving the masses now, yeah? And you know
the masses of our people,
the masses of our people. So it seems to be a very good sense of communism.
But you know what, ne? You know what? One thing that you need to understand is that ideologies can be used to push a certain agenda. But when a communist comes to power, he starts wearing a suit and you forget about those things. The only real communists who I have seen in history who survived until his last day, I think, is Fidel Castro and maybe Ernesto Che Guevara and.
Let's talk about the real one.
But African communists are.
No, it's because of, you know, you remember we said that we need to clean our internal arrangement.
No.
Internal system.
Yeah.
Can you see how the system was infiltrated?
Which one?
No, I'm just saying that many other systems, especially the one like that. That the coordination that they wanted to remove this liberation struggle and all these things. I think yesterday I talked about regime change and things like that.
Yeah.
Some of those concepts you have heard them, and you have heard them many long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
I am not saying that if you are to follow the politics in Africa, political economy, political structure. Because when you talk about the policy, the politics now, you are now talking about the government, how the government should be, you know, do you understand? Those ideals, those principles, that the judicial system and everything
is intact. What was your initial point again?
My initial point?
Mm-hmm.
We got lost.
Yeah, I got lost because we just went to the ideology, but you say something very important. I'm not getting you back.
Which one was it now? Because maybe I'm also, because I'm just, I told you I would just take a minute or so.
Yeah.
So, but all I'm saying is that politics is about the running of the state. Government and everything. Okay?
Yeah.
So, for you, because I'm just taking from your point, when you first, I don't know when, some months now, you have introduced this issue to follow how the, in order to protect our criminal justice system against all these things. You know very well that what is happening, for example, in South Africa.
Yeah.
So sometimes you need to appropriate most of those discussions. If I were you, I could have asked that Cody, what's happening in South Africa? There's this regime change, ANC, and all these things. So get him so that you know. So I understand the reason, but these are some of the conversation that we really need to discuss also here.
Yeah.
When you are talking about these things, so that we get to what is happening in South Africa and see, is it good for governance system structure?
Indeed. Okay.
Good.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Yeah. We are moving forward with the Early Morning Scoop. It's 11 minutes past the hour of 7. And as I indicated, it's always very important to look at the data, look at the statistics, and also look at what have we done in terms of exporting and also importing, and what do you rely on? Are we able to make match boxes in Namibia, or we are still importing? Are we able to import? Are we able to make match sticks? Or we are still importing? Are we making enough toilet papers? Or we are still importing? Are we able to make toothpicks? Or we are still importing? And if you speak about industrialization, how many industrialists do we have? How many grand industrialization projects have we started with? Or we just wait for industrialization to stand by 2030? What are we embarking on? However, one of the things which assist us particularly in terms of international trade statistic, we look at Namibia Statistic Agency report of October and also see how much we have gained and how much we have lost and what are the key commodities that Namibia sell, what are the key commodities that we rely on, we buy, and also what is the necessity of this information, because we don't only give statistical data for the sake of giving statistical data, but we give statistical data on trade and economy to make sure that that of who is listening will be able to read, expand more, and can also be able to use those data to his advantage. If we are indicating that toothpick, we are still importing toothpick, selling, buying with foreign currencies, that is your opportunity to make business. That is your opportunity to sell yourself. And also that is your opportunity to venture into that space so that you can make money. Because if you look at what is being imported, is what is needed, is what we do not have here. And you also look at what are those things that, we sell toward the global arena and why they are needed so much. Are we selling them at the right price, or we are selling them just for the sake of selling them? And also, what can we do to make sure that we maximize the return from commodities, particularly that we sell in the global arena, by ending values? Now, looking at October, that is Namibia International Mercantile Trade Statistics Bulletin, you'll be able to realize that in terms of export on the month of October, when you look at these statistics, let's look at the commercial break, then we come back.
Great news! Import just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Yeah, looking at the summary, the month of October 2025 stated that export revenue, money generated from exporting of commodities outside the country, in October, that revenue standing at 13.2 billion Namibian dollars, and is noting a notable increase of 78.7%, almost 80% improvement in terms of money that we get in terms of revenue from exports. Because when you compare with the month of September, be able to realize that there have been a lot of shift in terms of numbers, because it was weak and weaker. That's why 80% increment in terms of what we get from commodities that we sell from Namibia, either it's minerals, either it's fruits, either it's other form of commodities that Namibia is selling to the world. Now, looking at expenditure in terms of imports, now if we sell products and commodities of 13.2 billion, how much did we buy? How much did we buy in October? And at what cost? Because the country's expenditure of October is standing at 16.1 billion Namibian dollars, and that is an increase of 48.5% from 10.8 billion recorded the previous month. And in terms of exchange between, in terms of the difference between import revenue and also, import expenditure and also export revenues, you'll be able to realize that the export and import position translate into trade deficit of 2.9 billion. Which means that you bought more than you sold, and it has been a trend in the Namibian International Trade Balance Bulletin and also reports, because in most cases, 80 to 90% of the reports the whole year is deficit, and there is always huge amount of money spent on, buying of things which are coming into the country. And you're also asking yourself to say, what have we done? What changes did we bring about for us to balance the trade? There's an unending caller online that we need to pick up and also see what is their view. Good morning.
Shonde.
Yeah.
You people must stop wasting your time. Africans are not communist or Democrats.
Yeah.
African leaders, those who call them communists, they are doing it because it is the communist who communist bloc that helped him to go to power.
Yeah.
It's a democratic world that also helped them to power. Then now they are just following, but they are not. That's why when they got to power, now they are through coming.
They become capitalists, or they just become who they become. No ideologies.
Look. Africans, they are Ubuntu thing.
Mm-hmm.
In Ubuntu, capitalism also is the center of the thing. Social etiquette, who is pushing on his side.
Mm-hmm.
But in Ubuntu, it's a human look. You have to respect others because you exist because of them.
Yeah.
That is the part that we kill. To say, you have to respect others because you exist because of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they are there. They are because of you. But Africans are not democratic. They are not communist.
But that is our foundation, right? But now you can say we are what? That was the foundation.
Now,
yeah.
That's what I said. Up to now, we are not democratic. We are not communist.
Are we not at a certain level of democracy?
Look at it in Tanzania. What happened there? If it was democracy.
No, you can say it's democracy at a certain stage, or it's a premature democracy. You can say, but there are democratic values which are coming out from there, even if there was chaotic activities.
Now you wanted to give stage.
No, there are stages of democracy everywhere.
Okay.
Yeah.
The same just democracy after how many years?
No, I don't want to go to that conversation of to say, no, this country is full-fledged democracy. But even in America itself, because democracy is about equality, right? But the fathers of democracies, and also the Abraham Lincoln, them and all those people, when they speak about democracy, they speak about equality. But in the history of America, for example, after 200 and something years of existence, there was never a leader who is a woman,
democracy is not about equality, because equality never exists.
No, but I'm not talking about equality. I'm talking about gender balance. There's a difference.
Look, democracy by the itself, it has to do with what, not under the way you sit on top.
Yeah.
It has to do with to say, look, the appointment, how leaders are appointed.
Yeah.
That is the center of democracy.
Yeah.
How leaders are appointed? To say, politically, they are elected. That's the center of democracy. You see? That's the center of democracy.
Yeah.
How leaders have been elected. Other than that, that's why you see, if it was equality. It's about how leaders have been elected. That's why you see, when African leaders, they are happy to be democratic when they are winning.
because democracy in election is about winning and lose. But when they are were about to lose, then they ought not to be democracy.
Now,
they need also to think.
Now, how do you call a government in Tanzania?
Yeah.
How do you call a government in Tanzania?
You can call it whatever you want to call it. But I'm saying, by nature, they are not. Uh-huh. Maybe the next generation.
So it's
maybe
not
the next generation.
It's not in our DNA.
Because
yeah.
the current generation,
yeah,
which is even from me,
yeah,
you cannot say, me, I'm not a Democrat. Me, I'm a band. You see?
Yeah, but so, you know what, ne? You know what, ne? One thing maybe that we should agree is that we may have a different ideology, but there are some principles that we are sharing. You may be Bantu, but you respect the principle of electing a leader.
That's why I said that.
Yeah.
When China is the biggest,
mm-hmm.
but there's no democratic system of election, the same as all the Western flavor.
Mm.
But why China is moving?
Mm.
Look, it's not, my friend, look, when they said it's not about the color, it's the cattle. Whether you go for election to appoint the leader, whether you appoint, whether you it's monarchy, whether it's what, is the system effective in
delivering?
In delivering the service to the people. That's the only thing that you need. Look, don't confuse yourself with anything. You see, that's why we spend most of the time trying to say, look, we are democracy, we are communist, we are capitalist, we are But the system that we have before all those concepts, it has everything. That's why you own, you have your own cattle. Mara, you still have on longa evia, the public, mirunga di merundu, nurisiro aehe, like that, mara unengor.
Private.
That's why they teach you this nonsense to say, look, because did you know why? Because Africans were not there when these people were crushed the economic structure of the world to say capitalist, communist, and apparently what mixed economy.
Yeah, yeah.
From the beginning, us, we have a capitalist economy. And also, because capitalism economy is like, but you can call it even a mix. Because the mix is where they cannot locate Africa. Because in Africa, we have everything. You have public thing, you have a public thing.
Private.
Public at the monarch level now. It was a public thing. You want to say?
I hear you.
You have fine people who have their own Omankorwek. So now, when you have to tell us to say there was no property ownership in Africa, that's just a total lie. No, it was there only that there was no deed office. Which was created.
But laws have been there. Customary laws have been there. They've been very clear.
So now, when they teach you all this funny nonsense to believe in things that don't exist, only because Africans were not on the table.
But somebody has to define them. Yeah, but what we can agree is that we need and as we agreed also most of the time is that we need the colonial education. We need to education that can give us opportunity to think and also to unlearn some of the things that because a teacher taught me doesn't mean that a teacher understood very well. Some of them they just memorize. Some of them they don't go deep because it's part of the curriculum. But you don't know who is influencing that.
When the world power from the First World, Second World War until Cold War, when they sit to define the economic world and politics, everything. Africans were not there.
Yeah.
Therefore, they were only given to say, you can either choose between capitalism or democracy, capitalism and democracy, and or socialism or what?
Or communism.
Or communism. Or when it comes to economy, you can either mix economy, or pseudo-capitalism, or all those funny nonsense.
Yeah.
Because they were not there to defend themselves and look, we are what?
They
were not there.
It's the same question I've always been asking to say, what is our contribution to the system? We want the system to change, but what is our contribution to the international system as Africans?
Look, that is the first question that you always ask to say when you do research, what is your contribution to academic? Because you cannot just be there trying to say, no, according to what, according to where. Then it's no longer your research, it's just other people. Okay, when you say, what is your contribution now?
Even to international laws, because some of these things, they just come to you to say, the international is saying this, but is it really that you contributed something? Did you disagree or you just take?
They were not there. That's why they were only left with the option to choose whether to become Democrat or whether to become communist, capitalist, or to become, that was the choice, or a mixed economy. Mm-hmm. Because they were not on the table to define themselves to say, Africans, we are this. We are not this. We are not this. Because if you ask them, that's why for me, when you come in the argument, you say, capitalism, me, communism, I throw you out in the bin. Because when you start in arguing from that point of view, you are backward ideas. Backward. Your ideas are still in 1940s there while we are in it.
1945. You are in 1945.
Yeah, because if I ask you what is capitalism?
Mm.
What is capital? It's either money or good.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the capitalist? The person who owns goods or money
and private properties.
Any person who owns any person or whoever owns the goods or money, you call him capitalist. Then capitalism is a governance. The ideology, how to manage the factor of production. These are the factor of production. Therefore, capitalism is not a system. If I can tell you like that, it's not a system. Then when you come to community, you say common community, communal, like it's a collective. When you come to social, this is
just
a human.
Hold on.
Do you ever wonder why we have so many road rules? Like, don't jaywalk, don't drink and drive, don't drive with underinflated tires, and don't speed. It's because we don't want you to put your life at risk. Don't become a statistic. Don't become a headline. Be a responsible road user. Do the right thing and save lives.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
Okay, let us look at the future, because you know ideology sometimes is they confuse, but they are also the foundation to see where are you moving to. Now
we can confuse you, but they can confuse you if you can be confused.
But
I'm not confused. But I'm telling you to say any system of economy ideology, system of economy must or governance must always tell you one thing: who must own factor of production. That's the only question. You don't care about whatever
explanations.
They must only tell you who must own factor production and how it must be distributed. That is the standard of everything. Don't confuse yourself with anything. That's why in capitalism they said it's private. Communism they said it's a collective. It's a public. The state must own. Socialism is also to say it's between it's between people. People must own. Because there must be a social contract, social relation between the people when it comes to the use of factor of production. That is the only answer that you need to eat. That's why the Chinese said it's not the color, the cat.
Yeah, it's a cat.
It's not the name it's of the world.
Yeah.
Or the system. It's a question who own what.
I think that is starting with the end in mind to say what is my end goal. What is my end goal? What is it? Service delivery? How should I? Then you move from there. But instead of saying no, I'm standing here. We are supporting who we are what. That's why you realize to say even France now. Why do you think a pure Western country go to China? On a one-on-one delegation, and also come to Africa on one-on-one delegation if there is EU. You realize to say sometimes you can have different views, but people, they are pushing for what they want.
Yeah,
Because there's only one thing.
Yeah.
You can be deeper.
Yeah.
But there's only one thing.
Yeah.
Which are the factor production, my friend, for the economic survival and the service delivery.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't have ownership of the factor of production, which is land, the money, resources, money, technology, what? Then what?
You don't own anything.
Then what? What are you going to do? Zero. That's why whoever owns the capital, the factor of production. Me, I don't use the word capital. I use factor of production.
Yeah.
Whoever owns factor of production owns everything. It monopolizes control. That's why when the Chinese say, no, really, we are the sender here. So now you can see, even for the first time, you see even Americans, they are going to China.
Mm.
But the Americans, they are very arrogant people. That's why you say even Trump, he never set a seat, even in Africa, but he's commanding Africa.
But how come?
But the moment the Chinese press a button, now Pashe King, Tasman to Manarita, everybody's going to China now. You have to
leave. But I think we are just a field where people are taking resources, then they play their international game. We are not yet awakened to that. Yeah.
What we need to understand, wherever you see all the system of governance, it's all about one thing. The ownership of water production.
The ownership of
how to protect it, and how also to distribute it, how to use it, who must own what. You see, which service must be given to the people? How it must be given?
Yeah.
The people, that's why all of us, when we are fighting, we are fighting for what? Every day when we are waiting for what? To attain factor production.
I hear you.
You go to work, you get a salary, you get a salary to attain what again? Factor production.
Yeah, I hear you. You know what I'm always asking myself is to say, when we are hearing these good stories, especially from our trade partners, what do these people speak about? How do they speak about Africa when Africa is not in the room? Do they really speak about Africa like the way we stand one-on-one as trading partners, or they see us differently? That is just my curious thinking to say. How do they really view us? Either
Africa is not them. Equal person. Okutia totia nungina. Ohamba ike. Uiroike or Europe.
Even
the grazing pasture for the European and Americans.
Even,
the only person who come in there to teach the world in the international political economy about the kind of equality, sovereignty, to say, look, equality in terms of sovereignty, like we are all sovereign nations. If you are a sovereign nation, every nation. If you are sovereign, whether you are United States of America, whether you are
Gabon, Swaziland,
the smallest country, you always have the economy to grow, the nation feed.
Yeah,
you understand?
Yeah,
you have it all. That is where the concept of reciprocal reciprocity come in. That's why we said, whether you are white, you are black, the bread is one bread, red.
Yeah, yeah.
Whether now you are black, you are Americans or what, you are Africans or what, you all drink water. You all need food, you all need shelter.
Yeah.
That's why people were not wrong when they give you the basic needs of a human being. And this is where the center of everything, culture. Every national leadership must be able to give basic needs to the people. If you cannot give basic, that's why they never even change. You see, this concept to say, even electricity today is a basic need. Transport is a basic need. Technology today is a basic need. But that concept just remains there.
Even quality information also. Things are, but you know, it's like, when in other countries, when people are hungry, you must be held accountable for that. Because even shelter. But you don't take these things seriously. To say, basic needs and also human right to say is shelter of a person and security.
The only country who understands these things is just the Americans and water, maybe the Europe, Australia, the British and the French. Because any single mistake, kind of South African, because South African politics is also something.
Yeah.
Because these are the people who could take decision immediately.
Yeah.
Because every president there, every whoever goes, you work at the pressure of the state, not not the pressure of the government. That's why you see, you will never see any political party there, or even Trump will talk about, you know. No,
and do you know that during the U.S. elections, it's more on candidate and ability of candidate. You don't really see parties. Not to say Republican parties are dancing here or Democrats are dancing here. It's only about the candidate, the qualities and the position on foreign policy and all these things. But when are we going to get there?
Because the attention is on the
person.
Or the quality of the leader they are putting as a president.
Not on parties.
Not the party, because the parties. That's why you never, even when they are doing their work.
You not even see them the way you see it in Africa. Yeah.
You will never even see the color of the Democrats or what. No.
Maybe they are wearing capes or something, but it's not coming out the way it's coming out here. Here is black and white.
So that's why you can see that here there are the people are the state there now.
Yeah.
Because they are the owner, they are the shareholder.
Yeah.
They only want a quality leader to lead them. That's why they ask him questions the way they want, and the person cannot even say anything. People, they ask the way they want to ask.
Yeah.
I see what I think you say, the question is good, but it's your attitude. But who cares now? The citizen does not care. Because us here, we demand the respect.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think people demand the respect from the leader? You don't need, you know, apparently to respect. The leader can be only respected when you are doing good things.
Yeah.
Because when the issue of this trade war between the Chinese, it's affecting the local economy, even the Russian-Ukraine war. It's also affecting, not directly Americans, but the Europeans have been affected mostly.
Mm.
So do you think people care?
No.
They just want a leader who can
deliver.
Because people they just want shelter. They want to do their business. They don't.
Yeah.
You see.
And some people are just on their own. They just want that environment so they can thrive where they can thrive in.
People really don't care who is the president.
They want the environment. Yeah.
They just want an environment to attain their basic need and the safe actualization.
Yeah.
That's what they just want, that environment.
And I see some people, they are too focused on, is it family and kids, especially when the economy is becoming very, very, very tough like this. They just want that door to open and move. They don't really care about many other things. But maybe we are going to realize that also in the future.
Yeah, because until such a time we realize that now, that's why the focus is now on the position.
Yeah.
The president and the ministers and but the people don't care about who is there, but the ordinary citizen want what? Just the basic need.
Just want bread, water, and
just water and bread.
Yeah.
So that is only the important. That's what I said. Sometimes the understanding is the one.
Mm-hmm. I get your point.
Our people need.
I get it.
The only thing that I learned from the Chinese is to say, look, you know, when they unify, you know, the only thing that always the grip people problem fighting is when you intervene, but you want to destroy their culture. You want to intervene in their internal affairs to say who must be the president, who must be leader.
Mm-hmm.
Stay away. The government must stay away from those things.
Yeah.
Otherwise, even Africans, if they want to come together, they must stay away from who to become a leader in a particular, like in Namibia.
That will be the end of everybody.
Yeah. That's why the Chinese, they are very smart. They just said they don't care who to become a president, who to become a mayor, what in your city. These are the rules. The police is there. The state intelligence is there. Just to
Is there to stay? Even if you are a minister.
That's why they say that. It doesn't matter. Just run and become.
Yeah.
But if you just mess up.
Yeah. They sort you out. And the rules don't change.
That's why you see.
Yeah.
Only the best people who are coming first.
Yeah.
If you know, you do not.
Yeah.
You have to say this. Now our system is to say, you have people who want to run hair up. Whether they mess up or not, there's nothing that is going to happen.
But in China, did they execute? How do you formally put it when somebody's given death sentence? The former agriculture minister.
Executed or like or hanged.
Yeah.
So these are the things to say. Yeah. Sometimes you need to learn unique story, unique lesson from. That's why I said just learn from the journalist.
Okay. Thank you. All right.
Yeah. We are continuing with Early Morning Scoop. It's 43 minutes past the hour 7, and the caller. And mentioned a very good point to say, sometimes it's just understanding. Sometimes you just need to learn from the best. Sometimes it's just an understanding. Sometimes you just need the right information and also to think outside the box. And that is the only way, either it's to solve the economic challenges or either it's to deal with issues at a personal level. Sometimes you just need information, right information. And also ask to say, when I'm learning this, is it practical? Or just because I'm learning from David, because David is a professor of trade, or is a professor of psychology. This is the one and is the end. Do we question, are we still undermining our intelligence as Africans? Do we really think we don't have capacity to solve our own economy, or we are blind because there has been already something presented to us? And what can you do in a situation where that of who was supposed to help you is no more helping you? Because I'm always speaking about the basic of toothpicks and matchsticks to say, can we really not do that? If everybody just decided to pull out, how are you going to make firewood? Are you going back to Stone Age or what? Even toothpicks. Maybe it's a time that we must practically do what we wanted to do, especially on the basics, because if you want to be industrialized, industrialization is a very complex, and also expensive project. But you need the right skills and also right mind.
If you've reached that stage in life where you are tired of everything, where each day is just routine. Dah, yammer me oh. No, seriously, I am genuinely sorry for you. Cause you clearly haven't been polanified. Like, boring day at the Spani. Polanify your lunch hour with a delicious Polana curry. Chewing through yet another stale sandwich. Polanify your burger with a little mac and cheese. Tired of chewing the same shandy? Polanify your munchies with air-fried Polana pasta chips. Come on, life's too short for boring. Polanify every moment with Pasta Polana, a proud product of Namib Mills.
Yeah, it's 45 minutes past the hour 7. Let us look at the commodities. Let's look at what are some of the key things that at the center of Namibia International Trade, what do we sell, and also at what level, where do we sell to, and also which countries, which economic regions do we import products from, and also who are our clients, and what are we selling? Are we selling advanced, value-added, and also final products, or we are still selling raw materials? What is different from the products that we sell now, from the product that we've been selling the past 5 years? What is the differentiating factor between the uranium we are selling now and the uranium that we sold in 2020, to say? Is there any difference, even in terms of adding one value to that? Because I'm still waiting from expert, the chemist, the geochemist, geologist, and also those who work in the mines, to tell me, to say, have we added any value to the uranium that we sold in 2020 and what we are selling now? In terms of diamonds, have we changed between cutting and polishing to a certain product that we sell outside? or we are still, how we have been. Then we can go to COPPA and all these things. Or we just change the packing arrangement. Yeah, it is stated that the top 5 export products of 2025 October, of October 2025, is uranium is topping. And this time, it's topping based on the first, the second, third, and the fourth products in the list together, which means that uranium is the top of exported commodity in 2025. That is October 2025 with 33.2% of the total exports. 33.2, and at the second part there is non-monetary gold with 15.6% of the total, export commodities. Now the question is, when we speak about uranium being number one, who do we sell to? Largely absorbed by China and France. That is it. And when it's come to non-monetary gold, which is at number two with 15.6. The main destination is South Africa. And you are also asking why non-monetary gold, why gold is at number two. Must be able to realize that the past 2 months, gold has been topping in terms of the demand, because it was stated that it reached 4,000, US dollars per ounce. And you realize that when it's coming to that arrangement, it's in demand and very much needed in the world. And you have gold, and also you'll be able to see that apart from platinum, when you look at Zimbabwe with gold, there are also some of the products which have assisted in upgrading Zimbabwean's economy. And yeah, at number three, we have diamonds. And in comparison to other products, diamond is at 6.2% of total exports. And you just realize to say, those who are in business of diamond, the main threat of diamond is really being felt, especially by lab-made diamonds, which is make it very difficult for those countries to trade at the right price, at an understandable right international standard price. Yeah, that's why when you look at diamond, it's at number three. And when you compare with uranium in terms of percentage, you realize to see it can even go there more than 3 times, which means that uranium is 3 times high in the demand compared to diamond. And at the fourth, there is fish. There is fish. That is the fourth, and also the fifth product, the top 5 export product is copper ore. And that is it's copper ore and concentrates. And in this case, majority of this copper ore is re-exported, which means that we bought them somewhere, maybe in Zambia, maybe in other countries, but majority of this product is re-exported. Yeah, I do not want to go to the top 5 re-exported products. Let us look at the basics. Let us look at top 5 imports to say what is really that Namibians are buying. What is really that the Namibians are buying, or what the Namibia is buying at what is that Namibia is buying at 16.1 billion? What are those top 5 products that Namibia is buying? And the report of October 2025 is indicated that in top 5 import products, we have You have motor vehicles that is bought for commercial purposes. But at number one, you have petroleum and oil. That is petroleum oil. And here you speak about oil. That is petroleum oil or petroleum products. This include other parts such as grease and also even Vaseline and many other products. But from petroleum oil, it consists of 10.0% of total import goods. Then you also have motor vehicles, that is cars, and also other, motor vehicles, products. And that is for commercial purposes at 3.3%. Then you also have medicaments at 3.9%, diamonds at 3.9%, and fertilizers at 6.1%. You know, what makes me angry is importation of fertilizers, to say, why Namibians, we are importing fertilizers? And I'm not mentioning any institution. There are certain institutions which are going down. There are certain institutions which are established in Namibia, and they are going down, not necessarily because they are not giving effort. They are going down because we have colonial laws in Namibia, as we are speaking, that are making it very difficult for these people to sell their products in Namibia. It's not only them. Go to the act, look at the requirements, and Namibians are losing their jobs due to those difficult laws that are making it very difficult for Namibians to sell in their country, products made in their country. But you have this 6.1% of top 5 imported products. Why Belgium is buying my fertilizer? Why UK is buying my fertilizers? But in my own country, I don't meet the requirements to sell. What's all contradiction? It's not only that, there are things that that really need to be looked at, particularly when it's coming to trade. I'm selling in China, I'm selling in the UK, I'm selling in the US, but Namibia is saying, no, not here. What's so special? There's nothing special. It's just the law, which was placed there by somebody who made sure that it's going to be there long term. And these are complicated things that they look simple, but complicated and have impact on people's life. You can go the same laws with with the red line. We can debate however we can debate about red line. We can use EU as part of our arguments. But when you listen to the president of EU at the EU summit, is to say integration is one of their aim, and also training local businesses. They're investing in that. They did not say division. We are continue using those colonial laws to continue oppressing each other. Either it's red line, either it's a trade of fertilizers. And if you are not careful enough, we will continue oppressing each other until the point that all the resources that we have are lost. But you don't just do anything. How can we speak about Africa Continental Free Trade Area if we have a divided Namibia in terms of trade? How can we speak about that? How can we speak about Namibian businesses selling in African continental market if they are not selling inside the country, but they are selling outside? And who is going to lose in terms of that? Some of the things we don't need a legal mind. You just need a bit of common sense, so that you can push those things to the advantages of Namibians. So that is what's happening. And looking at this report, you can be able to realize that in comparison to September, you can be able to realize that October, maybe the buying of products is also motivated by the end of the year, where individuals, they are buying not only for long, short-term consumption, but also for long-term consumption. And also to see those who do research, especially when you speak about value addition and the mineral beneficiation, let us update each other and give each other information, because that is the only way that we are going to track progress, and we are also going to hold each other accountable, particularly the fact that our government has good intention of value addition. What is the response of private sector in terms of value addition, and what people are going through, particularly those who are trying to add values to their products, and also make sure that when it comes to resources, they are sold at quality, at the international standard price, and they are benefiting the people of the country. So you can expand on international trade balance statistics. You can also go deep to say, in terms of African Continental Free Trade Area, how much of the participation, who is our key export destination, and take this international trade mechanized report of October 2025 and compare it with October 2011. Then you'll be able to see, did we really change in terms of economic diversification? Did we change trading partners? Which products were dominating in 2011 in terms of export? Which products were dominating in terms of import? How much have we spent? What is the level of growth in terms of the amount of revenue collected through, export and also expenditure? That is, money spent on import of goods. And you'll be able to see that have we moved or have we not moved, or we are just where we are. So, dear listeners, make sure that you get time and also opportunity to read the Villager newspaper, especially for Friday, because when you look at it, you can be able to get content and also context of the conversation, especially when you look at what is currently happening, and look on top of the page of the Villager, it's to say Namibia has potential to produce cheaper and green ammonia. That is something that the article that you need to look at, and also expand more. What do we mean when you speak about green ammonia? What do we mean when you speak about green ammonia? And also, when you look at the page 3 of the Villager newspaper, you realize that there is ongoing applications until the 31st of January 2026 to Velvicia University. That is, you can apply for national vocational certificate in horticulture, crop husbandry, and also a certificate in farm machinery and the infrastructure, certificate in the livestock husbandry. That is level 2, and make sure that in terms of agriculture, you don't only speak about food security, but you also practice it. Sometimes you just need to attend a training, because at the end of the day, if you really don't have anything to do and you are interested into farming, enter a business that you understand, you know very well, and you have skills. And there's an article by Matthias Sangala that is indicating that COP30 target increased climate resilience adaptation funding for developing countries. And read and expand, because I'm always indicating to you to say there is more money in green finance. There is a lot of money even here in Namibia. Just give you information, especially the young people of Namibia, on the green finance. Go and find a way. Who is in charge of this finance, and how can you tap into that, particularly when it's coming to project that is related to climate change and also climate resilience. And the globe is putting more money on the table, but are this information given to everybody or just for some people? And there's also an article by David Shombe that is on page 5, that is on political conflicts in Africa cripple its economy. Then you'll be able to look at the statistics, the expenditure, how expensive war is, what have happened in the past 5 years, and also what analysts are saying, particularly when it's coming to the economy. And yeah, on that note, on page 6, you'll be able to get an article by Matthias Sangara and Peniambeko Jonas there on Ruvidao, Edge Namibia to End AIDS Spread by 2030. That is our good doctor. The doctor, the Minister of Health, is indicating that, by 2030, we must end the spread of AIDS. This is an article by Anakreta there to say 341,000 classroom block to boost learning at Didimika Private School. Get opportunity and learn that. So an article on African export don't need more. Don't need more. And capacity building. That is also one of the articles. But just while we are there, also get time to get the page, page 9 of IUM, that is on the former or the alumna or the graduate of IUM. Read their story, and this time is Elina Kaimbi, and get opportunity and read that aspect. Page 10 is Woman Block is December. So December, guys, get time to buy food and eat with your family members, with your loved ones. It's not time to starve yourself. It's not time just to enjoy, but also get an opportunity to buy food and eat. Go to the Villager newspaper and get the special on groceries, especially from Woman Block. Yeah, from me, David Shombe, I'm leaving you in the good hands of Michael Shoveri, to unpack the day. And, we are 5 minutes into the hour of Mike. And, Big Mike, the mic is there.